Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. It's National Pajama Day here in Australia, and it's all about wearing your favourite pair of PJs to help the Pajama Foundation raise much-needed awareness and funds for children in foster care. With the money raised from National Pajama Day, you'll be helping offer learning skills to more than 1,000 children, fund educational resources, and help provide stable, positive relationships. So today, yours truly is in her favourite PJs, and I'm asking you, are you game to complete a challenge in your PJs today to raise awareness and funds for care, kids in care? Whether you dance, sing, play, teach, or host a Zoom meeting today, do it in your PJs and share it with the world by letting them know why you're doing it. Use the hashtag #InMyPJs and put it out there. So I encourage you all to put on your favourite PJs for the day. And in particular, if you're on a Zoom call today, challenge your colleagues to front up in their PJs too. Take a screenshot and send it to me and I'll be happy to share, and I'll pledge a dollar donation for each photograph I receive. So go and get into your PJs. Today we are delving into inner transformation, which relates to various aspects of human existence and interactions, such as our consciousness, our mindsets, values, beliefs, spirituality, and human nature connectedness. Being yourself. Now, that should be easy. Crafting the life you want for yourself, well, that's not easy. In fact, it's hard. We always need to remember this. Hard should never push you away. It should only make you more motivated and make you have stronger willpower. Hard requires that you stretch yourself in directions that may be uncomfortable at times. You need to go after what you love, what lights you up inside. Otherwise, you'll live with regret. We either keep kicking the can down the road in life, or we can take action. It's that simple. By striving for authenticity, we get to a place of deep inside us that speaks to us, soothes our soul and calms our nerves. It feels like home because when we're there, spiritually and mentally, we are at home. So to get a better understanding of how we go about discovering our inner transformation is our amazing guest today, wellness expert Amanda Valverde of Live in Peace, located here in central Queensland. Amanda is a mindfulness mentor, inspirational coach, and an energetic love counsellor. Now, Amanda believes presence is all that is needed, but that takes courage, determination, and self-mastery and self-control. It takes reflection, awareness, understanding, and love. So we're going to hear all about that from Amanda today. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour, and a huge shout-out to all the women out on site and on track today. Stay safe and have a great day. And this might also be a good time to mention that the radio show does and may contain some adult language. Let's get into it. Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show and for sharing some of your valuable time with us today. I know you're super busy, but I also know we are all going to enjoy your company and we're eager to hear some invaluable advice from you. So can you tell us a little about your journey and a little bit more about yourself and becoming a mindfulness mentor?
Well, first of all, thank you for the space and the time. I really appreciate it, and I'm really eager to share the space with you. So basically, I was a language teacher back in Spain where I was raised, and my whole life really changed totally, basically. So I came back to Australia because I was born here in Australia about 8 years ago. And obviously my mind was telling me, oh, you know, you're going to have no problem. You just go back and teach here. That's, you know, that's okay. So that's what I was applying for, jobs as a teacher or teacher aide and supply teacher, whatever. But it wasn't happening. And it was pretty frustrating and it was pretty scary because I left everything back home, my family, my loved ones, everything, really my stable job. And so I came here with an idea in mind, which was not happening. It wasn't manifesting. So then I thought, ching, something has to change. Like I cannot just keep, you know, hitting myself against the same wall. So eventually I started applying for other jobs. And this journey has actually been handed down to me, like what you were talking about, being spiritually connected and mindful, being in the present and just allowing what is. That's really the best that we can all do. And as you say, it can be easier said than done. But eventually I was traveling here a little bit in Australia, and then I ended up in Mackay. You tell me how. You know, Mackay, very small town. I'm coming from the other part of the world, so I was never expecting to find myself here in such a small town. And there was a clinic here, and I was really drawn to it because it had everything spiritual, everything mindfulness. And at that time I was really getting myself into learning about whatever I could, really. So one thing led to the next, and I started studying Reiki, which is energetic therapy. Mm-hmm. And then eventually over the years I created a business, Aligning Therapies. Now I've got another branch, which is Live in Peace, and I'm helping, mainly I'm focusing on the male and the female energies and relationship coaching. So the main thing is relationships, from the ego to the divine. I do now.
Well, that's an interesting journey. And as you said, such a big change in your life, to coming from, you know, another country and then coming into Australia and having something set in your mind, a direction which you thought you would naturally attune to and go to, and there's a roadblock, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a roadblock, and a detour had to be taken. And as in a lot of our journeys, those detours end up leading us to our truer destination. So it's always a good thing if you get stuck in that place, particularly in your current job, or as you said, you were job hunting. Always look outside the square and start looking for something new to follow. And with inner change, that's right, there can be no lasting transformation. It's over time, you know, the messages we receive from our internal selves and external selves take a toll on us. So inner change is often associated with moving away from the negative situation you're in towards positivity. So it's excellent that you're able to transition into that next part of your life there and on your onward journey.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely very interesting. And you learn heaps. You learn so, so much. And really what I've come to understand is that basically we are the experiences that we have lived. And through those experiences, whether traumatic or amazing, whether pleasant or unpleasant, they help us to become the person that we are, and we can always use that as a gift to give to others. We can always, through our experience, empathize with someone who's now living through what we have already overcome or what we're still trying to overcome. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we're all here together, even if it seems that we're all separate, but yeah, we're all here to help one another. And the more we can do that, the better. And my passion is really relationships, because I feel romantic relationships mainly, but I feel relationships are such a mirror. We treat them as separate beings, but every single relationship in our life is a mirror of ourselves, who we are, where we're at in life, and how we are dealing with what life throws at us. So whether we are reacting or responding, whether we are mindful, whether we are staying in the moment or we are going back to the past or we are anxious about the future, they are such great learning tools. And sometimes we don't use them as that gift because we're so focused on the human level, that we forget that there is something more, that we can tap into love, and everyone is really coming to the table with their own baggage, their own experiences that have built them to be who they are. And so those experiences, like for example in my journey, and we all have the same thing, I went through very tough moments, and you know, leaving everything behind is not easy. Many people do it here as well, just changing state. It is very hard. And for someone who hasn't done it, you just really can't understand. But somebody who has gone through the experience, you definitely know all the emotions that you go through and what you have to navigate.
There is this big sense of detachment and loneliness. You're second guessing yourself. Have I made the right decision? There is a lot of negativity there, and it's getting over that, and to know that you've done it for a reason. You've done it for bettering yourself, and you need to move forward. So it is definitely a big step to take, and I applaud you for doing it. As you said, it's you know, a language to start with, and yeah, I didn't know at first that you were Spanish. So hola.
Yeah, hola.
that's a great journey that you've come on so far, Amanda. So tell us what's involved about going through your therapy session. Can I call it a therapy session with the individuals or the couples?
So I started to do individual counseling sessions, but now I'm driven to do couples counseling sessions, and I've got coaching programs which are longer term. I do feel that once you find a therapist who is aligned with your journey, then, you know, building that trust and opening up and being vulnerable, because in the sessions we do go to the core of the issues and the challenges, that can take a lot for people. It's not like, you know, you meet someone on the street and then you start to open up. So it's because we want to go to that core, the coaching program over a longer period of time allows for that vulnerability and that trust to build up, so that the walls can come down and really the hurt comes up to the surface and it can be addressed. Because sometimes what happens in relationships is that this person is hurt, and then you're just expressing and communicating to each other from a space of hurt, and I need this, and you're not really giving to the other because you're so hurt and you're expecting something from the other person. So when the two parties do that, then there's separation and there's no intimacy, there's no connection, there's no bonding, so there's no place for respect, for warmth, and that's all we need really in relationships. We need to feel that we are safe. If we feel safe, we open up. We don't mind being our scary self, our vulnerable self, our silly self, our everything self, imperfect self, our human self. But it is only when we feel that we're being really judged or that we cannot be who we are that we close down. And that, unfortunately, happens to all of us from childhood. So I really say that trauma, I emphasize this, it doesn't have to be rape. It doesn't have to be something extremely extreme, like going through poverty or being in a less developed country or whatever. As little childs, as little kids, we go through a lot of experiences that for us at that time are big.
They are, and that's right. Yeah. We all experience, you know, adversity in our life somewhere, whether it is in childhood or in our adult life. And how you manage that greatly depends on what you look forward to in the future. But you need to actually address it. You need to confront it. And if being vulnerable is not your forte, you have to actually just let it go and open up to vulnerability. Because when you do, as you said, you realize that, and it's such a lifting experience, and it makes you who you are. Then you you admit to what's been holding you back, and those relationships can build so much better and stronger after each of you have opened up to vulnerability and compromise more to so with each other on each other's feelings.
Yeah, definitely. It is that allowance for the safe space. Yeah, so that the wounds that have been created, and sometimes they're wounds that not even the other person has created on you. You're already carrying them from childhood, but you're repeating the same programs. So that's why it's so important to stay mindful and stay in the present moment, because then you're seeing the situation as it is, and you're not projecting your needs or your expectations or coming from a place of, this is what happened to me in the past and this is what you're going to do to me. Shut down.
That's right. And I've found that by doing this kind of work and committing to your desired life, it's led, it, and it always does, it led me to feel, you know, a type of priceless fulfillment. There's no price on freedom, like mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. That's a truly liberating interior freedom. Once you get rid of all that, you know, baggage that you carry around with you unnecessarily. And it's deep thought and deep work every day, and you have to commit to it. So how do you actually counsel the couples? Do you do meditation? What kind of strategy do you go through with them?
Basically, it's based on counseling, so talking, the verbal expression, because I feel sometimes when you have a mediator that allows for the two people to be more vulnerable, because you have someone who's neutral and who's objective there, and nice. Yes, exactly. Rather than so they can bring both parties to the middle point. And there's also energetic work involved. I do integrate the energy work as I am doing the counseling sessions. So it's going really deep within. It's working with Reiki energy and the chakras so that they feel aligned. So whilst we are expressing ourselves, we are already using a language that is telling stuff about our own internal belief, our own internal system. So the words you use and the tone you use, the posture, the gestures, body language, everything is expressing how you're feeling inside. So by doing a little bit of NLP coaching, counseling, and the energetic work, we can get to the actual core of the issue. So whilst the two people are saying at a superficial level, she did and he did and this happened and it, that we can actually go to the core of the vulnerability, which they are not expressing because they are so scared.
Yeah, that's right. And we are, aren't we? We're all scared of being vulnerable. And that's that insecurity that you mentioned before. We need to feel safe. And we need to feel secure. So opening up to vulnerability is very scary, and it's very daunting for a lot of people. Yes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we have created a society in which that's what happens. We are all walking around with our shields up and being like women. This is another side of what I'm really passionate about. Women have become so masculine, and men, on the contrary, have become so feminine because there's no spot for them. So then we're all kind of adjusting ourselves to a role that really doesn't fit with us as we learn how to integrate those energies within ourselves, and we can open up. If we don't do that, then, like I said, we just walk around with our shields.
Our armor on, that's right.
Yeah, we're so scared that we're going to be judged, that we're going to be rejected, that we're not going to be good enough, that if we say this, they're going to gossip about us. And it's, oh my gosh. And, the industrial environments where, you know, the man-made or very manly, masculine environments, such as the mines, etc. I work with couples who work there, and that environment is amazingly dense. It's incredible because it is an industry which makes millions of dollars by raping the earth. The earth is feeling that as well. And you know, people get into that loop of, oh, but I've got debt. I need to pay my debt. I need money. And so you stay in that dense environment without really knowing that there is something more, that if you were only to let go of that need and feeling of lack, you would be able to tune into who you really are and go, all right, what is my purpose? How can I give? How can I help? And you would, like you say, feel so fulfilled inside. And I don't mean, you know, don't go after the money. We do need
No.
money in life. But there is a greater life for each and every one of us here. And it is working on that manifestation that is the really the trick. What is your dream life? Not anyone else's. Not what your mom said or your partner says or your daughter wants. What is your dream life? Yeah.
And that's right. And it can't be just money driven, like finance driven. As you said, we all have our bills to pay, our mortgages to pay, expenses. But if you're not happy within your own life and within, you know, the job that you're doing to sustain that expenditure, you need to look elsewhere and you need to, you know, create that happier life for yourself. So, yes, if taking the time to speak about all this definitely is a positive move to, you know, to finding that dream life. And I call it mind nurturing, because you're literally replenishing your thoughts with positivity and the fullness. And that's how you get to reach that dream life, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that.
Nurture your mind and your thoughts, yeah. Definitely. So when we talk about creative arts for healing, like you offer a service called Warrior God and Goddess Essence, what can we learn and gain from this kind of service?
So basically, that's really tuning into who you are. It is part of that coaching program and that commitment within 6 months, so that you can, in the sessions, become clearer with who you are and who you are. This is really important. The theory is very clear, but sometimes we get so enmeshed into what society wants and this label and that label, but I'm a mom and I'm this. No, what is it that you want at your core? What ignites your fire? What makes you happy? So that you can become that really strong warrior or warrioress, you know, if you're a woman. But in essence, you're humble. You're not like really fighting to compete. You're competing with yourself, really. You're tuning into who you are and going for that dream, creating that dream. And that takes time, because sometimes we don't even know what we want. We have to unravel what it is that we don't want to find that inner core, to find
that's right. Yeah. And you don't let anybody force you to be someone else or do things you don't want to gain their respect, especially. You know, there's an old saying that says, to yourself, always be true. And how authentic is that? Like, this isn't a me first kind of thinking that, you know, you reek of arrogance because you're thinking of yourself. It simply means that you shouldn't let other people tell you what to do or think. Respect yourself enough to walk away from anyone or anything that don't serve you, you know, that don't help you grow or that make you happy. Yeah, always be your authentic self and let that shine. It's that's so much better for your own self.
Yeah, definitely. It is tuning into to really what you want to do. And it's interesting, because as a society, we have put a label in that if you take care of yourself, like self-care is selfish. And so we're all bound by this label and we don't know what to do, because whenever we do something that nurtures our mind, our body, it's selfish. And so you want to hide from that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be called selfish. You want to be selfless. You want to be an empath. Nobody wants to be a narcissist. Nobody wants to be selfish. But wait a minute, there is some certain value in being a narcissist and being selfish, because if you don't take it to the extreme, what happens is that you are actually destroying that label that society has created, that self-care and selfishness is selfish. It is selfish, but we are independent individuals. And the more we tune into that selfishness, the more we can be selfless. Because you're happy with yourself, you're aligned, you don't need anyone. Then you go, all right, my cup is full. How can I help you? You're always trying to get it from somebody else. How can you help me? What can you do for me?
That is so right. And, you know, when you're feeling overwhelmed by the feelings of stress and anxiety, you know, you need to pick a creative outlet and let yourself, you know, take yourself there. And I think in these current times, I think a lot of people actually have taken on board a lot more self-care, like with COVID and being, you know, not that it's really affecting us in our area at the moment, but so many more around Australia and overseas, that being restricted to home in isolation, they've taken a lot more attuned to actually looking after themselves more. There might be more opportunity there to delve into their own self-care and find their passion and purpose whilst they're away from their normal work environments. So I think, the more that you can express yourself and find your own true self and passion and purpose, that's where you become selfless, more so. Exactly right.
Really. And I reckon maybe this COVID thing is actually a blessing in disguise. And, you know, like we were talking about before, when you find a block in your journey and then you have to find for other ways to do things and readjust, because you can't do what you thought you could do or what you've always been doing. Yes. So the other thing is that I feel, I'm not sure why, but as a society, we have also put like mind caring and self-care and therapy as a second, you know, like, oh, I'll just do it
a
later.
Secondary.
I'll
do it
later. Yeah. Yeah. But it's so necessary. It's actually the basis of everything. If you work on yourself, you are tuned in, you are aligned, you are, you know, that even the Greeks, the ancient Greeks used to say you have to have the mind needs, and the body and the spirit need to be all in alignment, because if one gets out of whack, then you're out of whack. Your life is out of whack. So if you're just chasing after the money, for example, or yes, you've got heaps of money, you've got a secure job, but what's your family time looking like? How's your relationship being impacted? Because normally in these highly paid positions, romantic relationations are just put, you know, pushed down in the back burner. And then the romantic life has so much effect on our lives, because that's where we are nurtured, where we feel loved, where we feel safe. Mm-hmm. But when it happens, like I was saying before, we just create this separation of these two individuals who are not living their purposes and who are looking for each other for that fulfillment. But because they don't get it, then they go out and search it somewhere else, like at work. Okay, you've got a highly paid position, whether you're a man or a woman, but you're still competing. You're still, there's no love, there's no bond. So where are you being nurtured? And are you working on your thoughts? Are you working on your mind? Or are you simply just, I'll go to work and deal with it and do it? And that's a very positive mentality, but it's not going to the deeper core of what you really need.
That's right. And we get caught up in our busyness. And as you said before, we put self-care to the side. I'll do that later. But in actual fact, it needs to be our priority. And when we find that selflessness, it's what you project. So when you're happy within inside yourself, that's how you project, and that's how you pass it on to other people. You know, it's such an important thing to remember that, yeah, self-care isn't selfish. It should be a non-negotiable, and that everyone should participate in their own self-care, you know, first and foremost.
Yeah, definitely. And even in, you know, if you've got kids, another big label that I work with is that moms tend to put their own self-care second and everybody else first. That's another label that we have you know, lived by for so many years, so many centuries even, but that's also changing. The thing is that the mom then goes to the other extreme and she becomes really competitive and she wants the money. She wants the independence. She wants to feel that she's her own identity, but she forgets that, hey, there's another person here, the dad, who can actually help you as well. You can both work together. You can work as a team, raise the kids, have the money. You can have it all. You can literally
have life.
It.
That's right.
Yes. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to compete to prove. You simply have to take care of yourself. The other person takes care of themselves. And then by being selfish, you are selfless. So you work together and then everyone benefits. The kids benefit. Everyone benefits. So it's reversing what we've learned.
That's right. And it is a partnership, and it's about working together. So, you know, you get married because you form a partnership. And so it has to work in alignment. You have to work together. And that's, you know, that's spot on there. It's on point. Mm-hmm. So what other creative healing practices that you recommend or that you use? You know, you talked about Reiki before, and
Oh, there's heaps and heaps of healing modalities. There's kinesiology. We've got a chakra bed, which is pretty amazing as well. It's a quantum resonance machine. There's a few in Australia and a few around the world. That's really amazing to balance your chakras and balance your energy field. There's
So
also
what's involved with that, Amanda? What's in
that's it's it's a machine, it's a device, and basically you just lay on a massage table fully clothed, and we put the machine on top of you, which has seven clear quartz crystals, and you basically submerge in like a meditative state, a bubble of love. It's just transmitting to you different healing vibrations, and we can adjust healing frequency as well. There's a few around in Australia. There's also different devices that work with transmitting frequencies as well that are out there, like the healing machine. There's like I say, meditation, yoga, even Pilates. It's all even ancient philosophies and exercises that practices that were used to basically bring you back into the moment in connection with the body and in alignment, so that the mind and the body are connected and the heart as well. So that's really what these practices do, so that you let go of the anxiety, let go of the depression, because you're not focusing either on the past or on the present. Yes, we do need on the future, sorry. We do need both things, because we do need to have a goal in the future. And we do need to, you know, be aware of the baggage that we're carrying, so that if there is something that's unresolved, we can dig on it, or we can dig even on the experience we have learned. Yes, and make it stronger. Yeah. And but it's really being living in the moment and just expressing yourself who you are in Reiki. And really, I think what's the main thing with all of these practices is that you become a channel. You're really... You're a human being, but you're a vessel. The energy flows through you. It's like, all right, what am I meant to say today? Well, how can I help people? How, you know, with my words, my actions, the way I look, the way, you know, you have to look good for yourself because you feel good and you want to feel good. But that also shines the light for others to see. And so that motivates others to be that way as well.
That's what I was saying.
If we're all seeing crappy.
Yeah, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, if we're all seeing like, crappy things, as in like, if obviously if you're not feeling well, you're not gonna show yourself in a very nice way, and so that's the light you're projecting out there as well. You're probably gonna be shut down. Your posture is gonna show it. You're not gonna be very nice. You're not gonna say nice words. You're not gonna be encouraging. We want the opposite. We want to snap out of that, but it's not a snap out of that. It's like you were saying before, it takes work, commitment, patience, and keep doing it and keep falling down and keep, you know, standing up again.
And it is. It's definitely bloody hard work, but you have to commit to it. And the journey will be hard, but it's a journey well worth traveling. It really is. And like we both said, once you have found that inner freedom, that's what you project. And you do, you pass it on to others, what you project.
Definitely, so, yes.
We'll just take a little break and we'll listen to one of the show sponsors and we'll be back to... keep chatting soon.
Hey, Glowgetters. Have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, thanks for tuning back in. Now, I think we've already pretty well covered this, Amanda, but like taking action, and we're saying that taking action can be challenging and you may have to fight a lot of inner resistance. However, if you can change how you think, then you will gradually change how you feel and what actions you take towards that. But eventually the world will also change around you. So how do we do what we want to do? How do we take that initial step?
Well, the first thing is that recognition that you're uncomfortable or there's something more you're seeking out for something that's you want to expand. And so you start searching. The more open you are, the more, whatever you want to call it, God, universe, this higher power, the more the world shows to you the solutions. So, for example, maybe your friend tells you, hey, have you tried yoga? And then, okay, I haven't. If you're really shut down still, or you've got a label or a judgment, you're not going to allow that idea to come through, even if it is beneficial. So the first thing is really being open and working with those judgments. Nobody is really judging you. The only person who's judging you is yourself.
That's right.
The outer world is simply a reflection of our inner world. So the way you are feeling is being projected outside. If you have got heaps of resistance, like heaps of people who are maybe putting you down or pretty negative, there is something there. Always, I always say, when you have a finger that's pointing out, there's three fingers that are pointing out. So what is it? I'm not saying that that behavior is acceptable, you know, abuse, for example, but recognize it and stop it. But there's always three things here that you can do about that. You can either, like I said before, go and stop that behavior. You can establish a conversation. You can get a mediator, counselor, whatever it is you need, write a letter, whatever it is you need to do in order to really address what's happening inside. Why am I attracting these people that are being so negative? Do I have very negative thoughts? How do I talk about myself? What's going on in here? Am I tuning into my heart? Am I being nice? Because sometimes it is easier to see it outside and not so easy to see it inside. We are so used to our own vibration that we forget that maybe what the world is showing me. So being open is the main thing. And then just everyone has a very different journey, but it is part of the journey, and in it you grow and through it you grow. So really, just keep finding yourself, keep finding your passion, keep tuning into your heart and doing what it is that your heart is telling you to do. So if you feel like, I don't know, taking on a new hobby, do it. It might feel comfortable. Maybe you don't know anything about it. There are people who are already better than you. It just doesn't matter. And whatever label you have put there, that, you know, whatever judgment, doesn't matter. Just work through those labels, work through that resistance, and do what it is that your heart is telling you to do, because where the key is, and you will find the answers. The mind is very analytical, and it comes to answers and solutions, but they're not always, they keep us in a box. So they're not always the best for us. They are the best if we want to continue on the same path. But if you want to change path, sometimes you need to do something different.
And we do. Every one of us should have clear-cut goals for living the life of our dreams. So we need to define those goals, and we need to live into our values that we set for ourselves, and fulfill those goals, take action towards them and fulfill them. And the truth is, you can have what you want. You can't give in to fear. You can't give in to the excuses like it's too hard, because once you start doing that, well, you shut yourself down and you're done. And like, as we've said, inner transformation starts inside of you. So you need to use adversity as your friend and leverage it, eliminate distractions and focus on what you want the most. And you have to get back to basics and begin there. And that's by, you know, communicating, isn't it? That's a basic tool is communication. And then once you start communicating, opening up, you know, identifying what's holding you back, then it all falls into place, doesn't it? It's a succession that does fall into place. Recognition, you know, and admitting to it. Yeah. So it's a journey, all right. And it's definitely one that we need to have more focus on and look towards our destination of it. So for the listeners, have you got anything else you'd like to offer, or anything to offer?
Anything to offer? Well, the message really, I think, is just be yourself. And in saying that, it is so easy to say it and so difficult to achieve it, because I feel it is a journey. The journey is really, we are becoming who we are. So follow your passions. And work on yourself. Remember about pointing the finger. If I'm judging somebody or something, then what is the my responsibility in this situation, and how can I work on myself? And yeah, if they like to enroll in my coaching programs, I'd be more than happy to do that. Chat with them, and if they can access my webpage, livingpeace.com.au. If not, I'm already doing also started a channel on YouTube so that I can put
Excellent.
This information that is in me and just put it out there for people to benefit, hopefully, or get something, get tips out of even my experience. Yeah.
Everyone's got something to share, and most definitely get it out there, because everyone craves information and everyone learns in different ways. So the more information and resource that is out there, the better it is for everyone. No, it's a great service to offer, and a great, you know, having a wellness coach is very good for us. And a lot of us don't like to admit that we need help, but once you take a coach on board that can provide you feedback, can give you advice and guidance, it is a massive like burden off your shoulders to your own self and your own, you know, thoughts and processing. Just having that someone to listen, you know, and they don't have to speak; they can just be your earpiece. So having those resources at your fingertips, it's great. And I love that interpretation of with if you've got a finger pointing at you, and remember those three fingers pointing back to your own self and how you can manage that. That's excellent. All right, Amanda. Well, thank you very much for coming onto the show. It's been a great conversation, and it's not entered into quite so liberally. People just don't like talking about this stuff. Because as we said, we put the armor up, don't we? We just hide behind that, and we'll deal with that later. But we'll put your links up to your website on the show notes and on our website. And for anyone wanting to reach out to Amanda, I'd definitely recommend to do so. Amanda's got some great services to offer. And we say, take care and stay safe. And we look forward to catching up with you a little later on in the year and find out what's happening and how your YouTube channel's going. But we're going to hear from another one of our show sponsors. Then we'll come back and I'll give our take five. I do a take five tips every week and we'll wrap it up. But no, stay with us, Amanda, and we'll come back after we hear from one of our show sponsors.
Hey, Glow Getters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz? And has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, well, listeners, we're up to our Take 5 tips, and today we've got Take five tips on the general benefits of a wellness coach. So we've been talking to Amanda, who is a wellness expert. So I've come up with five categories. And the first one is general benefits, gaining ownership of your own wellness. So by having a wellness coach in your or on your team, you gain ownership of your wellness, you achieve your full potential. You know how to make choices to improve your health and well-being. You commit to taking action to live out your dreams. And there's awareness of the power of choice. You have the choice to choose. So awareness that you can choose how to live your life and make changes. Number two is your physical well-being. Commit to your healthy, you know, health and well-being strategies. Commit to your exercise. Commit to the pursuit of knowledge. Commit to your community and reconnect with or rediscover your methods for creative self-expression. And I think Amanda will definitely bring that out in you. You know, practice your unique talents and gifts and feel free to have some fun and enjoy your life. You know, you get increased energy and vibrancy. Eliminate the clutter in your life and the unnecessary people that don't fulfill you or don't serve you. You know, you get the ability to relax and breathe. And then there's always, you've got to look after your mental well-being. That's number three, self-awareness, increased sense of self-worth, self-esteem, and self-love. So that was a big one today. Increase your identity and your self-concept. Always have positive self-talk and your positive mental attitude, because when you do, that's what you project and you pass it on to others. And understanding your true value and beliefs, understand your thought patterns and habitual responses, change your self-limiting to self-empowering beliefs, and gain control of that inner gremlin that keeps holding you back. And number four would be emotional well-being. Feel proud of who you are. Feel proud of your achievements. You know, feel proud of your increased happiness when you get there. Understand your emotions and feel personally significant to yourself. And then number five is spiritual well-being. Feel more connected to a source, whether it's an experience you've had, like when you meet someone or you do an activity. And you gain love, meaning and purpose in your life when you find that inner self and inner transformation. There's internal connectedness that happens, and you feel grounded overall and you live more consciously. So appreciate the here and now when you find it. So our safety affirmation for the day is, you have to let go of who you were to become who you will be. Okay, that's it, guys. I do hope you've enjoyed our show today and our guest, Amanda. Thank you very much, Amanda, for sharing some invaluable information with us. And I hope you've all found the information inspiring and that it gives you something to ponder and perhaps action over the weekend. The benefits of a wellness coach are vast and holistic in nature. And I did categorize them, into sections. And it's very likely that a change in one area will have a ripple effect across many others. And it is a changing tide and current. And it's always important to regard your well-being as a multidimensional view. So ultimately, the largest and most powerful benefit is that you get to live the wholesome and balanced life that you have always envisioned for yourself. Nothing is more beneficial than you becoming the best version of yourself, living to your full potential. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on this episode and Amanda and Live in Peace on the show notes and on my social media pages, or visit the website kickasswomen.com.au. Be sure to tune in next week, where we're going to chat with Jade Hollis of Women in Transport Together. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get the latest episodes sent directly to you. That's it. It's not goodbye. It's see you later. Keep in touch, POSCOMs. Go on, get your glow on. Thank you and see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Jo Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.